Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So,
I wish I had a microphone.
It's okay.
Oh, you do. Don't you have one on the side of your head?
I mean, like a real one. I mean, I have a real one, but like.
You do for performance purposes.
Yeah, this is so rad.
You know,
I mean, we're pretty old school with our mics. I'm not going to lie, you know, that we hold them like we're on a stage the entire time that we're recording our podcast. But it's what I am used to.
I love it.
And it gives me presence. You know, I feel like if we finally got those ring lights and just turned off all the lights, we'd be spotlit.
Right.
Brooke, wouldn't you say?
I think it's about establishing dominance so that the person who joins us immediately feels lower on the totem pole because we whip microphones out of nowhere.
It's true. It literally was like all of a sudden it was just out. It's like, yep. That's amazing.
Yep. Yeah.
Guns blazing. No. Yeah. This is how we do it. But, you know,
it's an affordable setup for the level of dedication we have to this podcast, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It's good.
Which is so much dedication.
Should we welcome everyone to Sidework Podcast? I think we should. Yeah. I'm your host, Brooke Van Poplin.
Hi, guys. I'm your other host, Andrea Wallace.
And joining us today, it's been a minute since we've had a guest. Feels it's the nighttime is the right time. Please welcome the very wonderful, very talented, multifaceted Amber Bollinger, everyone.
Oh, my God. It's so nice to be here.
And it was my bad. I meant to ask, is it Bollinger or Bollinger?
It's Bollinger, which I think you said it right.
I did.
I know, it's bizarre that you did, because most people say Bollinger, but I don't want to correct, because being from Ohio, we just say things weird anyway. It's more like a Bollinger. So, you know.
Yes, and I understand the Midwest in me sees the Midwest in you sees the Midwest in Andrea. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as long as someone's giving you a Bollinger, you know, like.
Amber Bollinger.
I love that.
Bollinger.
It really rolls off the tongue.
It's actually.
Amber Bollinger's also a singer. There you go.
Damn.
That's how you remember. Yes.
And I would almost argue that it doesn't roll. It violently ricochets off of a Midwestern tongue. Amber Bollinger.
Yes, which is I love that, the way of speaking. It's like not too offensive, you know, but it will hit you.
It does. Yeah.
It's some sort of pentameter. You know what I mean? I have it Oh boy. Well, we are glad to have you on. Like Brooke said, you are our first guest that we've had in a while. We've been kind of cruising through summer, if you will, but like we're back. We're here. You know, we want you guys to know that we are thankful to all of you for listening to the show, listening to Sidework Podcast.
That's right. We are reinvested. We both feel so paranoid and guilty that we took a 2-week break. So we're constantly, after almost 3 years, we just reposted some old favorites and we're like, we hope we didn't lose all of you. We hope you can forgive us.
Wow, you took a 2-week break? What, did you go to the moon or something? Like that's such a long time, like crazy.
Can I interrupt first by saying, is anyone watching Inspiration for the, you know, basically the citizens who are getting to do moon like space travel?
Oh dear.
Oh, it's
I'm not.
Oh my God, you have to. It's just gonna be ugly crying. from the minute it starts, it's like the new Elon Musk joint adventure. He's not totally behind it, but it's this new program basically proving that citizens of Earth can do space travel.
Wow.
And getting them prepped to go. And like, granted, this first batch 100% are all like NASA nerds. Like, they have extraordinary stories behind them, and everyone is supposed to fill a seat. I'm giving myself douche chills.
Dude, I love
saying
it.
Saying this, but
I've had douche chills. It's a lot. But here's the thing. Was somebody in the rocket that got launched this like a couple of days ago, or was that just a test? Another just shoot a rocket without people?
Well, I'm
Brian
not
says that was a test for what's to come. For tomorrow, they're shooting people up tomorrow.
Who's are going
they
up tomorrow? You.
Okay, so is it the people on the TV show?
Yes, Brian's saying yes.
Okay, cool. So essentially, the show started airing as a countdown to them getting chosen and then having like 6 months of training to then be shot into space. So we don't
know.
I do
have tomorrow off. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to binge this. It's a bingeable. Everybody call in sick tomorrow. Call out no lunch shifts for anybody.
Yeah, call in COVID and just watch this.
Call in COVID.
COVID. Uh-huh. Oh, boy.
That we keep giving you track names for the band, which we'll get into at some other point. We'll call in COVID. Absolutely a new track name.
Wait, are you guys writing songs for us now?
No. I'm just going ahead and letting you know that these are song titles. 100%.
I really love this. Call in COVID.
Anything anybody says ever is a song title if you think about it hard.
Well, if it's good enough. Yeah.
But I'm just thinking of the all the detrimental feels of like Elon Musk and like Bezos like launching the first fucking corporate restaurants in space, that like there's going to be servers in space and bartenders in space.
Oh, it's going to be a mess.
Just like for the most, is it going to be for like the everyday like people?
Are you kidding?
Are they grooming these people to be the wait staff?
Oh, wow. That's smart though.
It's smart. And like the thing
get
is
the
when,
help
when
up there first.
It's got to be nice and tidy.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the place needs to be ready. There needs to be a hot dish. Needs to be a hot dish waiting for you in space.
And some more derps, okay? Let's get some apps out there.
Mm-hmm. Cater waiters in space. That theme is not going to... Oh, my God, for sure. Oh, my God. You guys, well, before we get started with headlines, please listen. You know, you listen. So like, review, rate, all that stuff. We haven't asked you to do that in a while. If you haven't do it, please do it.
But wait, but appreciate that, you. Wait, can I report? This is big news. Y'all know I've been on a journey to try and find a job. I was hosting karaoke for a bit. At the beginning of COVID, I tucked my tail and went back to working special events for a restaurant the whole 9 years. I am writing for a new talk show.
Hooray! Oh my God, that's so great.
It just feels so exciting to be doing something that I'm familiar with, that I like doing, that so far, and it's a talk show all about cannabis and normalizing it in everyday life. And it's friends of the show are hosting it, which is really great. And it's just really fun. And I can't wait to tell you guys more about it and when to like start following it and laughing and contributing and becoming. It's going to be a live stream to start.
Yay!
So
yay!
I know.
That's so exciting. Wowie. Congratulations.
Absolutely.
Cheers.
Huge
y'all.
Congratulations. Cheers. Absolutely. Limbo.
So it's it feels very fun to like to wake up and have a schedule and to be really industrious and then literally be like, I'm working on a show about cannabis where the hosts and the guests, whenever they have a lull in conversation, go executive time and then they all get stoned.
Oh my God.
Have you been to
what in the desert? Was it called like not Palm Springs, but it might just be like Palm Desert. I don't know what they call it.
Palm Desert.
Yeah. Where they used to have like the bed and breakfasts and now they're just bud and breakfasts.
That whole area.
Oh, no, I haven't heard of the bed and breakfast.
That whole thing is no longer a bed and breakfast. It's literally just it's bud and breakfast. And there's always weed on your pillow instead of chocolates.
Whoa.
Yeah. It is huge. Like they're basically these bed and breakfasts are like, we just can't, you know, sustain ourselves anymore. We can't, no one wants to come here anymore, but you put a bud in front of breakfast, and all of a sudden people want to be there.
Wow. We've started to just barely scratch the surface of exploring, you know, like cannabis tourism and the way that the whole service industry is now shaping hotels and restaurants around that experience where you can do these like 5-course cannabis tasting menus, all this crazy stuff. But Andrea, that just blew my mind where I'm like, first of all, we've never spoken to anyone who runs a bed and breakfast. Let's put that on the document for a future. I mean, I don't know if we know any 89-year-olds, but we can try.
It's a young industry. Maybe we can get Tori Spelling on the show. You never know.
A bed and breakfast or just an old-fashioned bed and breakfast. Yes, but no, it's amazing. This whole like desert cannabis tourism is a very real thing that is exploding out there in the, what I like to call the nether regions of California.
It really is the nether regions.
It's lawless.
Yeah.
It's lawless.
I just like, did you get a babysitter to come with you to like talk you through like everything? I don't know. It's a lot for me to be like to eat a 7-course weed meal. And I know they're just like, sometimes they're doing little dots for taste and this and that. But I've seen some things where, and I think it's on purpose. They're like, get super fucked up for the whole
meal. Do they ask you your experience level?
Probably. I don't know. I would be want to die just thinking about it.
Yeah. Like my, you know, like spice level is, you know, between a 1 and a 5, I would love to say a 3, but really I'm a 1.
Sure. No, if they were asking, I'd be like, can I please order off the kids menu? This is going to be too violent. Much, right? No. And it's been interesting to be working on a cannabis show because it's not a show about or for potheads. It's about cannabis curious and people who really anything from I'm about to try it for the first time to, you know, use it every day and it really helps them function and whatever. But it's absolutely not one of those shows where you're like, oh my God, everyone literally eats cannabis all day long and then smokes it, then takes a tincture, then rubs it on themselves and has never been sober in 17 years.
Right.
You know? So it's cool because it makes me feel like less of a nerd because I found out you can be allergic to weed, which I'm starting to do the math and starting to think that might be what's going on with me.
Wait, what are your signals? Like what happens?
I just don't have a nice time. My heart races no matter what. Mm-hmm. And I feel like my breathing gets weird and restricted. Every time I smoke, basically, I'm like, hey, when you guys smoke, is like your whole like experience sort of like, when does this end?
Right.
Because you know, it's just...
I think there's a little bit, I'm like that with edibles, and I've talked about it many times on the show, how I do not do well with that. I learned this past week in 2 milligrams, the teeniest amount is like plenty for this girl.
There you
go. There was still a point when I like, and I hadn't had, there was nothing else in my system but that. There was still a point where I was like, okay, you're cool, Wallace. Like,
is falling asleep like an allergic reaction?
Fine.
Because no, that's definitely mine.
That means it's working.
Oh, damn it.
That means it's working.
I'm just like, I'm having such a good time. And I just fall asleep.
Well, I am super excited to hear about this journey, Brooke, and I can't wait for you to start promoting it. And again, kudos, congratulations, Kush, congratulations to you, m'lady. Let's pop over to some headlines.
Okay, we're going to discuss a few headlines. Yes, indeed. Andrea, this one just spoke to me. It involves you.
Yeah,
to such a degree.
It does.
Did you get a chance to look at it?
I read it. Oh, I read the whole thing.
All right, so you tackle this one, girl.
This headline coming in hot from Food and Wine magazines. Hi, Gail Simmons. This amazing Richmond, Virginia-based cidery has started serving hard cider soft serve, and it is their answer, autumn's answer to frosé, if you guys didn't know, is the frozen rosé, which is it's had its time in the spotlight. So the founder and CEO of Busky Cider in Richmond, Virginia, was just like, yeah, frosé is fine, but like maybe we need to do something new and something fun and something fresh. So he invested in a below zero machine, which turns booze into ice cream. It's a $5,500 investment. No dairy. It's all dairy free. It just takes the actual, I think, cider. It's just like, you are now a delicious soft serve. Richmond's really known for their beer, so they're very much a standout, like standalone cider brewery. And basically, since they got it, they have sold out. Like they've 200 servings on launch day. People love it. They have amazing, delicious flavors. They do like watermelon rosemary and Thai Tom Yum and pomegranate habanero and mezcal barrel aged cider. And admittedly, this is the funnest part. The funniest part is that they're like, this fucking machine is such a pain in the ass to clean. Like, we hate it. The owner was like, I even had to make my own video tutorial to like give to the staff to break down, to be like, here's how you clean this properly. But like, they paid off the machine in 4 weeks.
Wow.
After they bought it. Which is amazing.
With scoops of soft serve hard cider.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though it takes an extra hour of work to close the fucker down at night and clean it properly, which you have to do. You have to clean it properly because we all know how bad it can go if you're not.
We've all owned a juicer and had to throw it away, right?
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Guilty.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're going to get a second machine. Hopefully they have another little location on the coast in Cape Charles. I want this. I mean, I love cider, which is why Brooke was like, Andrea, this is all for you. I mean, I want to try all of this and it all looks delicious and I am picky about my cider, but I will try any cider once to make sure it doesn't disappoint me.
I was like, as you're doing an advertisement for the cider you're drinking right now, you're like, I'm picky about ciders.
That was really beautiful.
I'm drinking a hazy cider from Santa Paula. This is Anna's cider. It's one of my favorite. It's a funky, farmy, almost like it's a hazy IPA version of a cider is what I will say.
Delicious. And now they can turn it into ice cream.
Oh my God. I would totally. How exciting. I know so many people who would flip out over this.
I want this. How fun. I want this.
It sounds because like the whole frosé thing, I was just like, come on, grow up.
I've had frozen Negronis too, which I'm like, it just like, I just don't always love a Negroni, but it's delicious. But I've tried it, but I just don't love Negronis.
I think the difference we're talking about here, though, is that these are slushies. This like comes out this like is soft serve.
Yep.
Which we all know, like alcohol doesn't freeze, so they have a machine that like goes a step above and is like, now you do, bitch.
Below zero,
and turns it into a more like the consistency of a frozen yogurt, which is where that's where people get in, like confused because they're like, wait, there's no dairy, there's no additive. It's like, no, it's just hard cider that we've chemically manipulated to eat and taste like a fucking soft serve. Yeah.
I'm going to divorce Brian just so we can get remarried and have this as our dessert option at our second wedding.
I thought you were going to say to put it on your registry for getting remarried.
Definitely do a registry. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God. Can you imagine people who are like, hey guys, we thought to celebrate 10 years of being married, we would re-register and ask for some more shit.
What we really would like is a $5,000 machine that turns alcohol into ice cream.
Everyone's like,
and people will fucking throw down for sure. And then we'll be our own podcast because like one of us, we will have murdered each other trying to clean the fucker by ourselves. We will be dead.
You hire a crew just to hire it? You'll hire a crew. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have to re-register to get a crew.
Oh my God. Hey guys, it's us again. We've added a few more wishes. Check out our Zola. Is it Zola? Or wait. Check us out on The Knot. We're trying to hire a cleaning crew for our deep freeze.
We'll probably have to start a whole YouTube channel just like pouring soft serve. You know what I mean?
And meanwhile, everyone's like, I think what you're doing is called a business. Why are we all hiring staff?
I don't have what it takes to be a business person is what I would say.
Hey sharks.
Oh my God. But yeah, this is fun. This is a fun story for sure.
I know how to get you, Andrea. I do. I do. So to follow up, and I'll be a little like the summary more or less. Okay, so in general, since the pandemic and like all of these importing problems that have just been kind of ongoing during the pandemic, like first of all, meat prices are soaring and skyrocketing. If you've been out to eat recently, you'll notice, you know, independently owned restaurants are absolutely having to up their prices for food items that you know might be a little surprised by, whereas like corporations can sort of absorb the hit right now and not have to massively upcharge for their disgusting hamburgers, which I love to eat. But right now we are facing yet another wing shortage. Okay, a hot wing shortage coming at us once again, as if we didn't already. Well,
just in time for football season, right?
Well, right, and I just, it's like so many feelings are swirling through my brain because I do love wings, but I'm a little late to the game. It was not like culturally something I grew up. I mean, I know I am Midwestern, but it was not like a wing eating football family per se, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when you do stop and think about so many restaurants who thrive on wing night, that right. This is really fucking them over because their whole thing is supposed to be like 10-cent wings. It's their right. Big draw. Like they, you know, they make their money off of the alcohol because they're like, oh, we can throw this like garbage food at them because prices were good for so, so long. And now it's like 30 times the price that they were used to investing. It's wow. Also just not available. They're putting like deposits down to get wings by December. That's how bad what? Some of right. And now we're looking to Canada to start farming chickens and wings.
Why
for
can't
us.
We just find different wings to eat?
Well, I know. I'm like, can we start eating bat wings?
Like, let's
can
get
we
on
do
it.
Like a bat wing night?
Like, let's start like, you know, getting curious with other animals.
Okay, first of all, I don't think bats are going to be good on a menu anytime soon. Too soon, Brooke. Too soon.
I was dying laughing. My one of the new coworkers was joking. We were all joking about like, oh, what did you do on the weekend? Everyone's like, oh, I hit up the farmer's market. And our executive producer's like, oh, we have this great wet market that we hit on Saturdays.
Oh, that's too soon.
Yeah, it's too soon.
But it's really funny.
But yeah, like bat wings, you know, I mean, there are a lot of other tasty. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, you know, and I'm oddly or not, but coincidentally, like impossible, you know, Monsanto vegan, like fake meat just launched its chicken, which is supposed right. To be fucking awesome. So maybe that is an answer, you know, like even one of my favorite vegan wings, they discontinued the sunflower cutlets that like they used to make them with. And now it's like the weird like vegan drumstick. So even I have disappointment in my heart that my vegan wings, even though I'll eat meat wings for sure. I can't source those.
But do people care so much about the meat stuff, or is it like really the sauce and the flavor?
There's some great
sauces out there, you know, like the vegan
Agreed.
Whatever stuff.
You can put buffalo sauce on anything, and I'm pretty
I
much
put buffalo
eat
sauce
it, you know?
On everything, and I don't eat meat. And I found a vegan buffalo sauce, and I'll drink that for breakfast.
Yeah.
How is buffalo sauce not already vegan? I thought it was just hot sauce.
There's like butter. Yeah.
Oh. Oh, no wonder that's so good.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just like,
it's
what
a lot of butter.
Is this?
But
what
there's
is
a
this?
Vegan option. You get, like, it's just good. It's just as good.
Yeah. You know how you get like that glisten on the sauce? It's all butter, baby.
Okay. You guys are blowing my mind. I didn't know that. That's how newbie I am to this. I mean, I felt like I was like, this is an important and odd thing to go back and revisit too, because I think there's this huge disconnect that like chickens only have two wings. Where do you think they're gonna fucking come from?
I know the
right. Waste and like just hatching the like when you do start to think of our obsession with just trying to grow tiny enough creatures to rip the wings off of them so that we can like
have them on football.
I am yeah. I know yeah. Just mindless, just massacring. Farms worth of tiny chickens And most people are so bad at even cleaning their wing properly.
No, like, they don't even eat all the meat. Like, what the fuck?
My black friends have taught me correct. Properly. Yeah. I'm telling you, I like, as a white girl, I had some black friends be like, you eat that like such a white bitch. And like, we're just truly like, let me show you how to clean a bone. Okay. Don't be afraid of a little tendon, a little gristle. You suck that shit clean. And like, I do it with pride now because I'm also like, this is so wasteful. Yeah. Who's taking one nibble and then throwing it? That's crazy.
Yeah. Assholes.
Yeah.
Well,
but I'm willing to go down.
We'll see how it goes by. But we'll see how the football season goes. We'll see how the fall season goes.
Is it going to ruin football season if we don't have wings? I mean, put some buffalo sauce on some cauliflower.
Yeah, oh, no. Go, I get cauliflower wings, get chili cheese fries. There's all sorts of other things.
Bean
to eat
dip, and, come on, know, mm-hmm.
all day, right? Just everyone, use your brain space, dip into your Super Bowl food, you know, your list, your glossary. Remember the other delicious artery clogging options you have out there.
There's plenty.
But I also, Andrea, I do think this is a great case for getting into the meat alternatives. And Amber, as a vegan, which we just found out, like, of course, come on, everyone, let's do better. We do not. This is okay. Maybe it's a sign that we've been acting like barbarians, like usual.
Okay. Yeah, okay. And maybe even if we don't like get rid of meat entirely, like, you know, save it for like a few occasions. Like, granted, you know, if it is Super Bowl, everyone in America is eating meat. But like, you know, we don't have to devour it all at once.
Agree.
Yeah. I agree 100.
Interesting.
All right, guys. Well, I think we're good. I think we learned from that.
We did.
And, I think now it's time for some server
submitted
stories.
Stories.
Oh, dear.
Let's get started with our first confession, you guys. Okay. Shall we? Here we go. Hello, Sidework team. It's me again, the black bean suck guy with a confession at a restaurant and a restaurant experience story. So I'm gonna read the confession, and then Brooke, you'll head over into the story.
Okay.
In my previous note, I mentioned that I was never in the service industry. I was. I guess I thought I was terrible at waiting tables, and that stopped very quickly, which disqualified me as a contributor. Never.
No.
Never.
You spent a day, nay, weeks. You did it, sir.
So he spent uncounted hours working as a cook in various restaurants. Apologies. Many stories to share about that, which are forthcoming. Okay.
Good. Look at this confession.
It's
this
opening confession. It up. Look what it's done.
It's opened the treasure trove. Now you're like, I do have a lot of stories because I was able to step into my truth as a service industry professional. Okay.
Wow.
Why did you lie to us the first time? Okay.
Oh, this is obviously a no judgment zone.
So he goes on. All right. So if you remember, this is almost a year ago, I think. Well, I'm not sure when we read it, but so Amber, we have all of our listeners submit their crazy stories, you know, currently working from the past when they did this, whatever. And this guy, Andrew, if you remember, it was a beautifully written story about a monkey dish of black beans at a Mexican restaurant that went sliding across an ill-balanced tray.
Yes.
And sort of did like an artistic dance in the air that everyone in the restaurant saw. Like, no one knew where the black beans were going to land, sort of thing. Landed all over the back of some like big dude's like pink polo button down shirt.
Like, I see like a slow motion, like, you know, like phantom camera situation with Perfect Day by Lou Reed, like playing like as it sails through the air. That was the kind of imagery I took from that story.
Beautiful.
We need to shoot that. But anyways, yeah. And so it was cute because he and it sounds like his hubby or his boyfriend at the time, they were sitting there and, you know, like the waiter had done it. They were mortified and they're like, listen, you'll forget it by tomorrow. Something crazy is going to happen, you know, before you won't even care about this 24 hours later. And they said, like, then right on cue across the restaurant, another server had four entrees slide right off the tray onto a one woman's lap. Four fucking entrees.
My God.
Can you picture yourself at Mexican restaurants and how heavy the plates are to begin with, right?
Hot food.
And then how heavy with beans and rice and soupy cheese, you know, yeah, so she
trauma.
Took four.
That's trauma.
She took four to the vag that day, right after that. So it was a great story. So just to refresh everyone's memory, this is his latest story. And we will go into this and then move on to a show, which then focuses mostly on you, Amber. Okay. So, all right, here we go again. Here's a story. Todd and I planned a birthday celebration for our friend. Her cousin was in town from the Northeast, and you guessed it, we went back to that black bean restaurant. She arrived at our house and we drove to the quote unquote franchise Mexican restaurant. I don't know why he's protecting them. Anyways, she was adamant that we not mention it was her birthday on the drive there. She did not want to tolerate a weird restaurant birthday song and or perhaps the attention. We were a party of four entering the Black Bean levitation site. They seat us at a foretop exactly between the two rows of booths. I'm pretty sure it was the exact center of the restaurant, if not the vortex of the time and space continuum, which explains the floating black beans. Oh, I love this. We were seated and then ordered our food. You know the drill. As we were ordering, Todd asked how the server was doing because hashtag he's a great guy. And the server responded, well, it's my birthday. I'm doing well. What are the odds? Our friend said, oh, it's my birthday too. Todd and I exchanged a concerned, oh shit, look worthy of the House of Blue Leaves scene from Kill Bill. I'm pretty sure time once again stopped in this vortex. So our food arrived and it was great. We thought we were out of the woods. Then it happened. The clapping started. Out of nowhere, there was a 20-piece mariachi band at our table that I'm pretty sure rose out from the seventh ring of hell. They brought out a sombrero that was on the scale of a mid-sized sedan, clearly used by multitudes of other patrons, and placed it firmly on her head. The server staff then began an incantation of some birthday demon. We were mortified, but nowhere nearly as much as she was. As we were leaving, our friend said, why did you tell them it was my birthday? Whoops. P.S. This is funny. You should consider doing a birthday restaurant song episode if you have not as of yet. Much love to you and for what you do, Scott. Well, Scott, direct
this
you
has
back.
Been a, we've been trying it. We've been planning this episode for years.
Yeah, it's a year ago. If you go back and I think the episode is called Happy Blah Blah to You. It's about a year ago with our special guest, Dana Powell. We went in on the birthday. Like, we asked all of our friends if they could remember to submit recorded versions of their restaurant's mm-hmm. birthday song and sing it. Mm-hmm. It was very fun, very epic. So Scott and anyone else who's new to the podcast, absolutely go back and check out the Happy Blah Blah to You with Dana Powell. We go in on birthdays at restaurants.
Wow.
So that's that for the server submitted stories this week. You guys, we would love a whole new crop. Please send them our way. Confessions, stories, anything on your mind. Honestly, don't restrict yourself. And send them to sideworkpod@gmail.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Restaurant birthdays. Oof.
It is such an oof. I am a service industry diehard mm-hmm. and also a comedian. So people would think that in that Venn diagram, I like attention. And the answer is no.
No.
The answer is no.
Mm-mm.
No.
I am attention, okay? It's like when I'm in charge, I love it. But when shit happens to me, I shrivel up so fast. It is... I get violent when I have unwanted attention.
Yeah.
Like there's something really feral that switches on.
My whole body gets hot.
Right. When you command it, when you command attention, it's much different than when it's unwarranted. Right. For sure.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh no. You know, it's all so cheesy.
Yeah. It does feel like it feels like I'm on fire. Like my whole body gets hot. Like I know like my hands get tingly, my face is tingly. I'm on fire. This is not how it's supposed to feel. This is not good.
It's
this
and it's
is
not
torture.
And it's not like, oh, I'm shy. It's like, this is wrong. It's my body going, I reject this.
Well, this is an interesting segue, Amber, because all the attention is now on you.
Oh, yes!
Oh, shit. I have... Okay.
All right. So here we go. You are you. Yes, you accept. You are a guest at talking about the service industry. So let's start it off, shall we? Wherever you want to start. What is your background in the service industry?
Wow, it's a long history. I started out, my very first job was a barista at a little coffee shop in little tiny town, Bellevue, Ohio.
Love it.
Learning how to, you know, make espresso drinks and at the same time making their sandwiches. So I think that's when I learned the multitasking of it all. Like, and also, I had trouble with not giving it all at once, right? I wanted to make the sandwich and the drink at the same time and give it to them because I wanted them out of the store so I could move on with my life. But that's not how it works. You have to like make the drink and then the sandwich, and that requires that person to stay in your life a lot longer. And that was troubling for me. But, and then I was like, you know, and then I was like, okay, you know, I went to college and I was thinking I was going to move beyond that. But then some guy in my electronic media class asked me if I wanted to be a bartender when I was 20. And I was like,
classic.
I was like, I'm not old enough to be a bartender. He's like, it doesn't matter. Like, we have 50 cent draft night. All you have to do is pull a lever and beer comes out.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, cool. Okay. But like on my first day, this chick was not nice to me. And she was like, make a Long Island iced tea. And I was like, iced tea and what is that? I had no idea. I was supposed to just pull a lever. Like that was what I signed
right.
up for.
Also, you don't drink yet legally.
Right. I'm not even supposed to be here. Okay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and so I did that, learned quickly. It was just thrown in 50 cent draft night. And then it all.
Is this still Ohio or where did you go to college?
This is the University of Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah. Girl. Yeah. I went to a state school.
Yeah.
Didn't leave Michigan. Just didn't leave Michigan for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I was like, I'm going to go in Ohio or go to school in Ohio, just like as far away as I can from my hometown, which just literally the opposite side of the state. Cause I didn't want to take the SAT because Ohio required just the AC, like lazy shit.
Me too. Yeah. I was like, I just don't know. No, fine. Thank you. Not into academics, but look at us now.
I mean, yeah, we're totally killing it. No, it's
jacking on a computer.
Yeah. And then I went to, you know, I decided other things in my life, and then brought me to California to be an actor after athletics and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, okay, great. I moved to California to be an actor. And of course you find yourself being in the service industry because it's flexible.
Of course.
And then, but in order to go out on auditions and stay flexible, I chose catering.
Yes.
Instead of the restaurant biz, because there's a schedule there and you have to find someone to cover for you. But catering, you can just say no.
Yep.
And you can also say no thank you on the day, because there's another catering company that's hiring, and you can just say fuck you to everyone until you find a place that, you know. So I stuck with catering for it when I moved to LA, because it's flexible and the pay wasn't too bad. And then, you know, once you start booking roles and stuff, then you can stop the catering and just focus on acting. And that's what happened. And then I just always kept going back to catering.
Yes. I mean, that is your singing everyone's life song here, you know, to some degree or another. We kind of shaped, you know, an overall theme of the episode, like not only getting to know you and learning about, you know, the empire you have sort of built, but also the fact that like when you kind of make it outside of your love for the service industry, like that bizarre crossroad that happens where you're like, I don't know how to pull this off.
Right.
So, but we'll get there, but it's a weird dance you have to figure out how to do where you're like, am I making it?
Right.
Do I get to leave now or
should I just keep it in my back pocket?
100,
you know?
Yeah. I think you just have like parallel, you have to have parallel lives for a minute there. You know,
you have to
hustle at every corner. You have to both plates are full and you just go for it until you have to give something up or make a choice.
I mean, if you don't come from money, you have to figure out where it comes from. Obviously, things.
That's a fact.
So you're put that on some driftwood and hang it in your house.
You have to have 3 or 4 jobs. So it's like, you know, let's choose the one that you don't hate the least, I guess. You know, and I hated catering for a long time. I was like, this shit sucks.
Understood. We actually, one of our big episodes before we took a break was talking about the nature of, you know, working weddings is like such a bizarre extension of catering, you know, because it's an extra loaded emotional shit, but it's still catering.
It is.
Yeah. And just getting into the subgenres of catering, you know, which if you've done it so much, we should absolutely do a subgenre of like maybe having to cater like weird Hollywood parties or like the weirdest things you've ever had to, you know,
private
like,
parties, baby. Oh,
private I have done so many weird parties, proper parties, anything in between, swinger parties. And, you know, you have to sign these like, you know, NDA parties. Like the list goes on and on, especially in Hollywood. It's bizarre shit.
Yep. Oh, yeah. They're like, you'll be serving piping hot soup in shot glasses while blindfolded.
Yeah, because you can't watch the people fucking in the hot tub that are celebrities and they're not supposed to be there, but like you're there and you're, it's just like everything's really bizarre. Right.
Like, wouldn't just a nice buffet in the corner be okay in a room like that? No, we must have the best.
The apps must be passed.
This
is classy.
And they, yes, and they must be hot and cold. It's true. It's like, this is too hot, too cold.
I'm absolutely kind of having some FOMO that I didn't have my prime waitressing years in LA. Like, they were all New York City for me. I'm probably like a less scarred person in some ways for it that I did not have to work private weird celebrity sex parties and give people like, would you like another goat cheese wonton, you know, and a tiny
that's
napkin.
That's how long ago it was. That's because goat cheese wontons were all the rage.
I'm thinking of early 2000s, you know, with a honey balsamic drizzle. Oh, and you'd be like, here's a napkin for the wonton and a tiny napkin to dry off the tip of your dick, you know, or whatever.
I'm listening. Interpol is all the rage. So you, Amber, you were a performer. You were trying to make it as an actress. And then you're also a fucking rock and roller.
Yeah.
Like you are a baller musician at the same time. When did that start?
After I stopped kidding myself that I was going to do something with acting, I was like, you know, I'm done with acting. Maybe I'll try something else. Music. That's gotta be easier, right? So
doesn't come with its own set of complicated.
I just wanna be a paid artist. Fuck off everybody. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So I quit acting altogether and then started the music side of things, joined forces with my partner, who was actually, he's been a musician all his life, and me, I'm just like, yeah, let's try this. This sounds fun, you know? And some people call that being a tourist, which I think is ridiculous because you can be,
I don't agree.
You can be be curious and you can do whatever the fuck you want, whenever you want.
Yep.
That was about probably 7 years ago. I quit acting. And then in 2018, no, that's not true. Whatever.
I think it was 2017.
Yeah, actually, you're right. 2017, I probably quit in my heart then. 2017 is when I quit acting. And then 2000, 17 is when we started the music shit.
Nice.
And it was immediate. It was like,
catering. Meanwhile, catering the whole time.
Catering the whole time. But always like catering. When I was an actor, I could do the on and off catering thing because I was making enough money as an actor doing commercials, really.
Right.
Because commercials used to pay a large sum of money at one point, uh-huh. even non-union or uh-huh. SAG, whatever. But and then I was like, being a musician sounds great. You don't make any money as a musician.
Nothing.
Like you're like making negative amounts of money. And I was like, that's a great, sign me up. That's what I want to do. I want to do something harder.
Is there a way, could I possibly be more financially unstable? Show me the door.
Yeah.
I want to walk through that.
But the catering thing was always just there because what happens is you make friends through catering.
Yeah.
And you make these connections and because you're constantly, you know, you're not with just one company or with two or three or four. Some people are with five catering companies and you're constantly meeting people and you make mm-hmm. make these people your best friends because ultimately you're working with them the most.
Yes.
You always go back to catering because those people are like your family. So that's the one thing that stays like constant.
I love it that you're like, you only see that fucked up family at like really weird events. Yes. You're like, we see, you know, like we only hang out like weird events. Yeah. Like that's when we hang out.
And it's like, because they are weird events and like people are weird and you know, you're in this together kind of thing. You create a bond with these people. So, catering was just always there.
You have done it for so long. I'm curious, like, do you do annual parties at the same place where like the same host is there and you're invited back and they know the staff? Are you that deep?
I work with a celebrity every once in a while. It used to, like, I've known her for 3 years. She's in my phone. We text. And when I told my niece this, she's like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Like, she is my favorite, you know? And that's how deep I am in catering. I've known her for years.
That's great.
And it's because I've done it for so long that they're like, oh, this person is like a veteran. She'll take care of you.
I only want you. Yeah. And you can choose two other people. And that's, I trust. That's amazing.
It's cool. But also it's like when I'm on my deathbed, I'm like, I was this person's caterer, you know?
When everything flashes, the end.
Like, cool.
No.
Right. Okay.
I don't. Maybe it'll be you breaking a guitar on stage.
I hope so.
You know?
Yeah, let's hope so.
I feel like this topic is great because you are at such like a cool crossroads of, you know, so the band is called Broken Baby, everyone. And, you know, this comes out on Friday of this week. And then I think it's the Saturday after this week. I'm going to go see you play at the Moroccan Lounge.
Woo!
Which is, you know, it's going to be an album release show, and your tour got a little
it got canceled.
hey, you know what, at least you're not alone in it, you know what I mean? At least it's like,
oh no, yeah, we're not alone in it, not, unless you're like Green Day or Kiss or Matchbox Green. 20 or some,
right? Or what's
or Jim Brewer.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
You're like, if you're like the big wig, fuck you guys, the small people, I'm so sorry.
No, I think it was a call in COVID situation on your, you know,
absolutely
on your tour, except unfortunately COVID called in on
COVID totally called in on us.
Yeah. God damn it. But either way,
look,
you know, the album, like the fact that, okay, so for our listeners, and we're so it just made my brain go wild where I'm like, oh my God, like Andrea, like I want to drop, you know, like one of their singles at the end of the episode because we have permission from the actual artist,
how
which
fun.
Is so cool.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm right here. I'm letting you know it's
she's
cool.
Here and she says it's legit, you know. But
and if Brian and I decide to stay up past our bedtime because we both work all day on Sunday, we will also be at the show.
Woo!
So.
I know. I was just going to say, I'm like, Andrea, I think it's going to be worth it. And just I'll just keep reminding you to behave.
Well, just so you know, we chose an early show for Saturday.
Yeah, it's early.
It's like 7:30 p.m.
What? Oh, I'm there.
Yeah,
I'm there.
Okay, great.
So you can get wasted, recover, and then wake up fine. Yeah.
But it's really exciting because like you are at this crossroad of you guys were blowing up. The pandemic kicked you back to the curb with the rest of us. Right. You know, we can all probably attest to some level of inertia that was happening for a lot of us. And then it just, you know, no one's special in that instance. Like right. We all just have suffered, you know, a lot of major questions that we ask ourselves and what our trajectory looks like. But I'm just so excited because I feel like you guys are regaining ground and you and Alex were on the cover of LA Weekly, which is fucking Ooh-hoo. The tits.
It's pretty cool.
It's we so like, cool.
We like that.
Yeah, I know you did.
We like and that.
I think what's really fun too is like, fuck, like my attitude toward LA born and bred music, which I'm sure Alex and you and I and all of us could get into and you know, a discussion about this is like, you're like, okay, who's your daddy? Who's your mommy?
Right.
Like, fuck you. You're trying, you know, you guys are the real deal. You've worked hard for it. The fact that you're coming from like a go-getter, multi-gigging, catering until something else breaks for you background, like your attitude as a band is the attitude I feel like we all fucking need right
oh,
now.
Oh, that's so cool.
I mean it wholeheartedly.
That's so, I'm almost like, it's just like kind of just reminds me like, you know, I'm like proud to be a middle class person, you know, because like the middle class is dying and there is no music scene or music thing without the middle class. And that requires hard work and dedication, even if it is some kind of weird old school, you know, boomer mentality. Got to work hard for what you get, but it still like applies. You do have to kind of just keep going. Like things will happen or they won't, but like there will be an answer.
I mean, there. I also really like that you were like, look, I made peace with one thing, but then here I am again, you know? And I feel like there's less, I don't know, like risk of like feeling like a failure, not failure itself, because that's always a fucking risk no matter what you do. But like the feeling of like not of failure, like putting that pressure on yourself. I feel like you've fucking been there and you've done that.
Oh, well,
you know what I'm saying?
But in general, like failure is literally the only way that you learn anything, right?
Get
you
don't up. Learn anything. Agree. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
So
yeah. You know, life is a series of humblings and that's how you grow. And like, yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a life of success? How boring. You know what I mean?
How fucking boring. People who don't have anything to worry about are so,
so boring.
Boring.
Well, yeah, I know. That's why whatever, when they fall hard, you're kind of like,
yeah.
Oh, man.
With your mouth.
You don't know what to. Yeah, I know. It's, but so if you're willing to talk about this to some extent or another, are you feeling yourself at a crossroads where you are relying on like the Amber 1.0 version to still support Amber 2.0 that sort of, you know, in the works? Are you still dipping into the dependent upon medium?
Well, that's very interesting because I just got like a raise at the job that I've been catering, right? I've been doing catering forever. Okay. And now they're like, you know, because for years I was just a server, literally at $20 an hour for 10 years, right? Never a raise.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because you do it so often and you meet people that you want to work with, you find a company that you want to stick with. And this one company that I'm working with, I'm like, I love my bosses, or my coworkers. Like I'm learning so much from them, not just about like catering and weddings, but life and how to lead people. And like, you know what I mean? I'm just like, oh my God, it's like coming back into life things. And I admire these women that are, you know, they're just so incredible. And I'm like, oh my God, am I liking my job now? Holy shit. Because I, you know, they gave me a raise. Like now I'm working in the office. Now I'm working like planning these events. And then I also work the events and I got like a pretty great raise. And I'm just like, now I'm just like, okay, I like that, but I also like this. And can I do both?
I would imagine. I can. This is just me. Yes, of course you can. And I imagine if they love you so much, they must support your music so much.
Yeah, they do. And that's what's so great. They do. They're so great. And now, you know, because if like we went on another tour and it was actually, you know, it actually followed through with something, you know, didn't get canceled for the second time. They'd be like, cool. Yeah. Like, we'll see you when you get back. And I'm like, that's the dream job.
And this is, yeah, this is like this magic sort of like when we are talking about the energy vortex of black beans in the Mexican restaurant, this is sort of the energy vortex that, you know, when you are not, okay. So I guess I was, you know, cause I say this and I think any of our listeners know, we love and support and understand every goddamn single one of our career servers, bartenders, restaurant lovers who are like, this is what I came here to do. Yep. And it's what I'm going to continue to do. So, and we talk ad nauseum about them and praise them as well. And I think this is one of those interesting things when you're like, I love the service industry, but this other thing I love is starting to take off. And like, what do I do? How do I not, like, because you can get to a point, and I feel like the people who do this, right? People who are like, you know, we know the person who is like, I'm waiting tables, but like, I'm expecting to be famous tomorrow. And we've all worked with that coworker, you know, and like, they're the worst.
Yeah,
they're lazy.
The worst. Yeah.
They're angry. The they're giving out headshots instead of passing the app. You know, the whole thing.
They're always giving away shifts. They're never there.
It's brutal.
They're never there, you know? And so like, that's a rough kind of person who has like starry eyes for where they think they should be. And you're like, well, that's probably going to reflect back poorly in your karma and work ethic, just in general, even in the acting world. Like, you sound like a lazy piece of shit. Anyways,
right. Good luck.
You know?
Yeah.
Good luck out there. Hope you grow up one day. But and then there's sort of like, you know, what we're talking about. There can be these career servers, bartenders, caterers who are just like, this is the best flexible job. Like you said, you can say no, fuck you. Later that day, a better one comes in. You go, yep, I want to do that one. And it just works great. And they can pursue their outside interests, which might just be hobbies for them, you know, where they go, I love my local theater. I have no errors about thinking I'm going to be a star of the stage and screen, yeah, you know, but they're like, I love the flexibility, and this is stability and flexibility together, which is amazing.
This is also, it goes for like people who are like in school and then they graduate and get a real job, but they love it so much they stay and take two shifts a week because they love it so much.
Well, that's kind of what we're facing too. And so like, now you have someone like Amber right now. It's like you carved out a really successful career for yourself, and then this other thing has come knocking, you know, and now you have to do a balancing act to be like, I want to do both. And that might be the crosshairs you find yourself in at the moment where you're like, I'm busy.
Totally.
I'm really, really
I'm
busy.
I'm actually busy right now. I know, which is kind of a good place to be, because ultimately, you know, there used to be a time in my life where I'm just like, but it has to like be definitive. Like, I have to know which direction I'm going in. But like, that's just not the way that life works. I mean, for most of us, maybe it does for some people, and that's fucking awesome for them. But a lot of times we have to choose, you know, it doesn't, right. It's not chosen for us, but like, I'm just like, if I'm just going in a direction, everything's going to work out fine. So if it's both at the same time, one is going to rise to the occasion, and I'm just going to be open to whatever that is. And if that means one suffers, then, you know, I just have to pay attention to which direction it's going in. Because you can do both, but one will take center stage, and it's just like, is that really what I want to do? You know?
Yeah. And you might hit the point where your coworkers who you love and respect and who you're going like, I don't want to lose this. I don't want to have anything blow up on bad terms. And you're like paranoid, and you're like, I want to be a grown up about this and make everyone happy and people please. And I'm burning myself out. And it might be to the point where,
do you know me?
The women who
perfect.
Hired you.
This is me. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So the women who hire you and respect you are going to probably at some point very politely and gently say, it's time
push you
to
out
go,
of the nest.
Amber.
Yeah,
bye.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think we always question and say things like, is this the right decision? Instead of remembering that there are no wrong decisions, unless it's obviously very detrimental. Like,
unless it's drugs.
But like in life, right.
Unless it's drugs.
When it's illicit personality altering drugs, then yeah, you do have a problem. I think also the other big mistake you can make is the minute you catch wind that you may have booked something and you're like, I'm out of here, turds.
Bitches.
Oh. Suck it, losers. Yeah. And then the gig
I'm
falls
about
through.
To be an extra on Law and Order.
Dun dun.
Boo.
Yeah. Oh man.
You know what this also gives me feels of is you have a crew, right? Of servers that you love and bartenders, or when you're, you know, whether it's catering or at a regular restaurant or a bar, and everybody has their own thing that they do, and the entire staff just supports the shit out of each other. Like, I worked at restaurants where it's like, if you were a musician, we all showed up at their shows. We all showed up at Brooks comedy shows. We all showed up at plays. Like, everybody put in the time to see and feel the art that people were putting out.
Yeah, you know, because you know it's like what you're doing is like this is temporary. Like this is just and even like the good bosses, the good leaders in these companies that I worked for, the catering companies, knew that you were gonna go eventually because you were finding success in the thing that you came out here for. And they also encouraged you, you know, because you know, servers in catering are a dime a dozen. You know, right. Like, you know, maybe finding the good ones is not as easy, but like, right. You know, like
honestly, caterers are basically the extras of the food world.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. That is so true. You do not have to have any skills whatsoever. You really don't. I've experienced that firsthand. Like there's sometimes where you tell a server to do something and they do the opposite thing. And you're like, wait, what did I speak a different language? Like what went wrong with the instructions that I gave?
Absolutely. And
was I not guiding them?
I want to say that this conversation is like so very adult. Like adult people who work with each other, who communicate with each other, who talk to each other, who work together about normal shit. There's, you know, and like on the level that, yes, we're all communicating like normal people. There doesn't have to be any drama involved in any of this. Like realistic expectations about what's expected and what you expect when other things are, what to expect when you're expecting to become a star.
And also like, let's not ignore the fact that you've established a long trustworthy track record with these very people. And so, you know, there is something to be said for not like constantly, you know, bouncing around from gig to gig. Like if you can suck it up and stay with a place and weather the emotional growth that happens where you're like, of course you said at the beginning, you're like, I hate this. I don't like doing it. And then you figured out what is my happy medium? Like this helps me pay bills so I can do what I want. You know,
yeah, that's
and also
it's true. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because
I got a new pedal I want to buy.
Yeah, well, because I was for so long I hated catering because I felt like I was undervalued, and that like people thought of me as a piece of shit. Which is
You're correct. True. I mean, you're fucking correct. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. It's demoralizing.
No one fucking cares about you. Like no one.
They care about what you're carrying.
Yeah, they're like, what is that? And then they'll put their dirty fucking napkin back on the clean plate with all the clean food. You're like, you are a disgusting human being. Like, you are a trash being.
And then,
who's the trash being now? You know?
Catering during COVID must be a huge mess.
Well, it's interesting, that's for sure. I mean, we all wear masks, but the guests don't. But, you know, but like, and then at one point, you know, someone was like, wait, why aren't you managing these events? And I'm like, I was like, someone thought of me as like to lead an event. That's so bizarre. Cause I was always the one that was like, you know, drinking tequila in the back or like stealing the apps for home, you know, putting them in my purse and like, but you know, texting in the back. I'm like, fuck these people.
That doesn't take away from the fact that you're the best. Like you started the show by talking about multitasking and being a barista and learning how to do many things at one time.
And that's what it is.
And you have mastered it and you can have your cake and eat it too.
Because at one point you start realizing like, this isn't just a short-term thing. And I do actually value these things and these people around me. And maybe I should respect the place that I'm in and the people around me. And these people put in a lot of hard work, not only hard work.
And if I bring good energy.
Yeah.
Wonder what might happen.
You're right. Because that is one thing too. Because man, there's a lot, you can get sucked into vampire stuff, especially in Hollywood and catering and restaurant stuff. It's like, it can get really dark, but like, there's so many good people in the service industry that aren't focused on serving, that are doing their artistic things. And you just, yeah, like you said, like you support those people, they become your best, they come out to your shows, you go to their show, like it just becomes this beautiful artistic community. People aren't caterers. There's something else, and this is what else they do to make money, you know?
Right.
But if they are, they're really good at it and they work their way up. Like my boss, she started out as a server and office worker, and now she owns, like, you know, she does her own event planning, and she is so happy. She makes so much money and she is so good. I'm just like, damn, look at her go. She made it.
I love all this.
I also love that you're really catering to you these days. You know what I mean, Amber?
I feel like it.
You're really catering to you.
And we really tried to cater this episode to you also.
That's very nice.
There's just a lot of catering going on.
A lot of catering.
I don't have anything past.
Catering.
I didn't bring, there'll be no past apps tonight. Just past compliments.
Just past, you know what I mean? No tuna tartare. Just compliments.
Ooh, damn. On a little fried wonton.
That's
sheet.
Right. Wonton with little fresh ginger and little plum and dollop pears, of like, sriracha aioli, some sesame seeds on top.
Oh, I was thinking like a wasabi creme fraiche, but what do I know?
That's actually a really good idea. I'll let my chefs know.
I'm usually looking for the bigger, starchier thing because I'm wasted.
Arancini balls. Arancini balls for that girl.
Arancini with a little fried mushroom, shiitake mushroom on top with the tomato sugo. Like, ooh.
Okay. Nice. I will put a few of those in my purse.
Do they sell those at Trader Joe's yet?
They might. They don't know if they've done arancini. They do have some delicious toasted raviolis that are amazing in an air fryer and give you a huge stomach ache if you eat over four of them.
I'm down for that, though. I'm down for a stomach ache for good food.
Yeah, for sure. I'll tackle. Have you ever been tackled?
Not yet. Not yet.
Don't worry. Football season is upon us and there's a wing shortage. So something tells me tackling isn't everyone's future.
You have to purposely deflect. Like, you have to know as a caterer, as a gig, they have to be like, is that same fucking person like coming, getting all the food? People corner themselves. They know where the servers come out.
Oh my God. We used to work like these, like, the Paley Center, and they were like TV screens or whatever. I don't know. For
the Paley Fest?
Oh my God. I don't know where these people came from, but they did not have homes and they were waiting in line for like right outside the door that the people like we came out with trays, and they had their little like bags. They didn't even have plastic containers. They would put them in their satchel, the apps. They would just put the apps in their satchel. That was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So it was an app satchel.
An app satchel.
Specifically. App satchel.
Excuse me. I brought my app satchel, and I'd like you to come over here and just dump whatever you have in here. All those Kobe beef burgers, whatever they are. Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Am I making you a hungry girl?
Yeah, yeah, Brian was like, oh, I'll take one of those when you were talking about the arancini with the sogu.
I'm so in the mood to eat so much tiny food and have no concept of whether I ate not enough or 4 days worth of food.
I know.
I don't.
Oh, it's so good.
It's really hard.
I want to have a leftover app party at your house.
Dude, that sounds like a great idea. That sounds like a really good idea. Just left up where it's like the tostada is slightly stale.
Yeah, fine by me. Fine by me. I bet at the end of that, you're just like, you just eat the topping and toss the chip when it's stale. You know what I mean?
The beans are still good.
The roe that's just gone ahead and cured itself.
Uh-oh.
The roe.
Day old roe.
That's good.
Yeah, anything oxidized, I'll eat. You know what I mean? Where you can tell the pate is oxidized. You can, you know, it's been sitting out. The air has gotten to it too much.
I love brown avocado. It's one of my favorite things ever.
I've dropped an avocado on a dude. And just you said brown avocado. And I remember I dropped an avocado on an old man. He was like 89 years old. I'm just saying he was about death. And he didn't yell at me, but he said, "You are being irresponsible, and I require you to pay my dry cleaning bill." And I was like, because I dropped an avocado in your, like, give me a napkin and I'll dab that thing off of you. Give me soda water. We know the tricks. He wanted me to pay his dry cleaning.
Meanwhile, he was balls deep and naked in somebody, so there was no clue. Because it was an orgy.
Yeah, like whatever. Your pants were right next to the semen. It doesn't even matter. He didn't want me to pay for the semen bill. He wanted me to pay for the did we take a turn? It was bad.
It took a bit, but that threat is just like, great. Do you want the $2 now or later for your dry cleaning bill, you turd?
Yeah, I just got
it. Is not a
dry cleaning is very expensive.
Well, he got his pants from Paris, and they were very important to him. So he wanted me to pay his dry cleaning bill.
Okay. Got it.
Anyway.
I understand, you know, but sometimes they forget that, you're not replacing the pants. You're just paying to maybe get them cleaned.
Just maybe
they can actually track you down and get your info. It's just such a power grab.
Just
wash
dick.
The potassium out of those pants with chemicals. It's fine. Well,
I started to get a little aggressive with people like that at some point. Cause I was at one point I'm like, I don't care if I get fired from this job because these people are assholes. And I'm like, you want me to pay your dry cleaning bill? Are you serious? Absolutely. These are very expensive pants. I bought them from Paris. And I'm like, I am like, just straight up, I am not paying your dry cleaning bill. I want to talk to your manager. And I'd be like, I am the manager. I am not paying your dry cleaning bill. He's like, well, I need to talk to somebody. I'm like, good luck. I mean,
go scream on the internet.
I don't suggest people to be an asshole, but ultimately if you are an asshole to an asshole, it diffuses the situation.
Oh, yeah. That is. Yeah. Again, I feel like that's just more great parting words. We've dropped some pearls of wisdom. This whole show is like, if you don't come from money, where does the money come from? And then you fight asshole energy with already being an asshole, and then it diffuses the situation.
Oh man, I feel like we've learned so much tonight.
I'm a bad example for my nieces.
Oh, no.
This is you're a great example.
Sound advice.
I feel empowered. Amber!
Amber, thank you so much for chatting with us this evening.
I love you both.
We're going to share, this will get edited out if we're wrong, but we're going to share a song. We want everyone to check out Broken Baby. Listen, it takes a broken adult to make the beautiful music that is Broken Baby.
I love that.
Lots of fun stuff on the horizon for you all. We will be there on the 25th.
Yay! Okay.
Absolutely.
I can't wait
Absolutely.
To scream in your face.
Yay! As always, you guys, thank you so much for listening. Please, if you've got a chestnut of a story brewing in that brain of yours, send it over to sideworkpod@gmail.com. And I can't believe we get to say this. Amber, play us out.
Oh my God.
Godspeed and good tips.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Is it going to be Get the Piss Up?
Yeah.
Whatever.
We'll put on Get the Piss Up.
Get the Piss Up, guys. Get the Piss Up.
Godspeed, good tips.
I like
and rock and roll, good or great rock and roll.
And let this be your theme song to get pumped up for your service industry shift.